Welcome, all you liars, infidels, and fools. My name is Haley.
And my name's Brandy. And we are Easy Killer.
Easy Killer.
Easy Killer. Hello, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. Today, we are going to be discussing a case that no one has ever heard of, except for the people that was involved in it.
Some people might have.
Some people may have heard it. I'm going to sit back and let Haley today tell me a story.
Okay. So, we are going to dive right in.
Hell yeah, I'm ready to hear it.
To the murder of Nikki Lilley. Mm. Now, her name, her real name is Dominique. Her name was Dominique Lilley. She went by Nikki, which was spelled not like your regular Nikki is spelled. Mm. N-I-Q-U-E. Because it was unique. Dominique. So she went by Nikki. Nikki. With I think there was like a mark. I need a quick look in. There was a mark on the end of it. All right. So that's enough about her name. Nikki Lilley. She was a Georgia mother of three. They lived in Lawrenceville, Georgia, which is a suburb of Atlanta.
I'm digging this already.
So they were, you know, your quintessential everyday all-American family, I guess you would call them. She was 44 years old, and she was married to Matthew Lilley, who went by Matt, obviously. So she was 44 years old. Her husband was also 44 years old. They shared two children together. And she had another child from a previous marriage. So
they wasn't high school sweethearts?
No. Okay. They were both previously married before they married each other. She just had another child from a different relationship. He did not.
Right.
So her daughter's name was Alex. And at the time, she was 19 years old.
Okay.
And then they had Amanda, who was 12 years old, and Rebecca, who was 9 years old. So these kids are old enough to kind of know what's going
on.
They
ain't no fools.
Exactly. Know what's going on in the house. Right. You know, you pick up on how things are.
Yeah, they're paying attention. So, they ain't infants.
Yeah. So they were married. Nikki and Matt were married on Valentine's Day of 1998.
I never understand why people get married on Valentine's
Day. A lot of people get like engaged on Valentine's Day.
I feel like
Day
that would be just
too.
So like everybody else in the whole world.
Yeah,
it's like, you know, it's coming, you know?
And I'm not trying to like hate on anybody, but like I never really liked the Christmas proposals.
Neither. It's fucking stupid. I'm sorry if you got engaged.
I'm sorry if you got engaged. I know some of my friends have gotten engaged on Christmas. And I'm so happy for you, but at the same time,
I am happy
for
you too.
And I can't, I'm not going to go into detail about my engagement. Some things are better left unsaid. But but it was basically just a Saturday while we were at home.
That's how me and
Brandon
was.
Couch,
I think once you get at a certain age, you're like, you know what? Are you ready to do this? Because I am. All right, I don't want to spend my time with anybody else. Fuck it.
Well, the thing was is that like I had saw something on the TV, and it was like something about a ring.
Oh.
And so I was in that stage where, you know, I'm like, shit or get off the pot. Mm-hmm. We've been together 8 years. I was like, all right, let's do this or don't.
And if you don't, I'm gone.
So I was already making my, you know. Mm-hmm. My presence known on what I wanted to happen.
That's what I said. Straight up. Hey, are we going to get married? Because that's what I want. Eventually.
Yeah. And so then he went into the bedroom and got the ring and was like, here, bitch. No, not in not so many words. But okay. So yes, they were married on Valentine's Day of 1998.
Oh, yeah.
Matt was not originally from Georgia. He was from New York. So he was...
Ooh, that's a big change.
A northerner. Yes, very big change.
South.
Have you ever been to New York?
No, but I want to go.
I've been to New York City. It was like about 10 years ago.
About New York.
And they are very fast-paced.
Yeah.
Even when you're in like the line at like a gas station or the grocery store or whatever.
It ain't like
small
time.
They're like, get out. Like, You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Bing, bang, boom. Bye. No small talk. No nothing. So, which, I mean, I can appreciate because I don't really like small talk. Right. I don't like small talk. I
fucking
small talk. I can't. Oh, my God.
Actually, I can fucking.
I don't like small talk.
small talk. Smallpox. No, I'm joking.
So, they had a lot of laughter and happy times early on in their marriage. Nikki was in finance, so she was the breadwinner.
Oh yeah, she made good money.
And Matt installed home video surveillance systems.
So he made mediocre money.
So he, you know, yeah.
He wasn't making as much as somebody in
Well, finance. He did also, he stayed home with the kids. So I think this was a side business or something that he ran out of his house.
I had a stay-at-home mom for 7 years. That shit sucks.
I've been a stay-at-home mom without kids.
You're a stay-at-home dog mom.
I was for a while. And I went kind of crazy.
It's all right.
But then
it'll drive
when
me
I went
crazy.
Back to work, I was like, damn. To stay home again.
Right. It's like when you're home, you don't want to be there. And then when you're in the office, you don't want to be there. So it's like.
There's no happy. There actually is a happy medium, and it's called working from home.
Right. Yeah, that's right. That's exactly
this
right.
This podcast is sponsored by Working From Home.
This podcast and other podcasts can be found at workingfromhome.com. Because we slash the prices like no.
Right. Stop. You are silly. Okay. So he stayed home with the kids. They were very happy early on in their marriage. Then they weren't so happy.
Yeah.
You know, there were some marital counseling going on. They fought a lot. They both had a temper. It's what their families had said about them. But they were complete opposites when it comes to like size. She was 5 foot, 90 pounds.
Oh, shit. She's small.
98 pounds, my bad. 98 pounds. And he was 6'2", 250 pounds.
Oh, my God.
Yes. So.
Yeah, I get that.
We had
a
Robin Big going on here.
Right.
Damn,
it's Robin Big. If you don't know what Robin Big is, Robin Big is a show that came on MTV. Google it.
Rest in peace, Big.
R.I.P. Big. Yeah, he did die.
Yeah, that's
you know that sad. Annoying horse face Chanel.
Oh, I hate her. Chanel West Coast. Oh, yeah. My God, I hate her. Yeah. She is the worst.
Yep.
Okay, so she had a temper. He had a temper. They both, you know, contributed to the fall of their marriage, in my opinion.
Right.
So they were in marital counseling, and they had over 20 cameras inside and outside of their home.
Oh my God. Who's controlling in this relationship?
Because he installed video surveillance systems for a living.
That's
so
weird.
He liked to use his house as like a model for like what he could do for other people, for his clients and stuff like that.
He did.
Yeah.
I don't like this guy already because he seems just 2 seconds in, I'm like, you know what?
And
something's wrong with this guy.
Nikki's daughter, Alex, the one from her previous relationship, she moved out when she was 16 because she didn't get along with her stepdad, Matt, and all of his cameras made her uncomfortable.
Yeah, because I'd be feeling like he was looking at me.
Exactly. She's a 16-year-old girl. She said there were,
creepy.
Like, cameras, like, facing the couch when you wanted to, like,
just chill?
Watch TV. There was, like, cameras just, like, pointing on you the entire time.
Yeah, fuck that.
So, she moved out, as I probably would, too.
Right.
So, you know, and all of their marital counseling, everything they were going through, they were also $300,000 in debt.
Well, I bet you he ran half that debt up.
Yep, and they had a really big house, as a lot of these people
do. Yeah,
they get these big houses. It was a very nice house in the suburbs of Atlanta. So
yeah, so they were keeping up with the Joneses, basically, trying to fit in with everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always like these in these murder cases. I'm sorry, but it is.
It really is.
Typical, it's always a controlling husband.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always a stepkid somewhere in there. There's I don't know what it is.
There always seems to be a stepkid. Okay. So, they mainly argued about sex and money.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's the two things you're gonna argue about.
Yep.
You ain't fucking me. You ain't. What's the other one? Money. You ain't feeding me or giving me money.
Right. Well, yeah. Like, apparently he wasn't doing either. Or she wasn't doing.
So fucking
shitty.
He didn't make no much money.
Well,
he's over fucking and surveillancing his house and shit. He ain't got time to make money.
Right. Exactly. I mean, I guess he did make money from doing that, from installing. They said that, like, his servers were, like, the size of your grandfather clock over there.
Oh, my God.
Like, but wider. You've seen, like, big
servers
before.
Yes, I know what you're talking
before.
About.
Like,
that's
he
creepy.
Had, and they said the police that investigated this, they said that he had a bigger server than the police station did.
What the fuck?
Yeah, so.
And I bet you when something, I'm not even going to jump ahead because I got a feeling.
Don't even jump ahead yet because you don't even know what you're about to hear. Actually, you might, but I don't know. So Nikki also confided in some of her friends that Matt was physically abusive. Mm-hmm. And they said that at one point he had pinned her against the wall and put his hands around her throat. You know, just kind of, not really necessarily just hitting her, but just kind of.
Like
roughing her up, and
it's like the men like this, and I have been with a few that they don't physically punch you, but they scare you enough to basically feel like that you are in danger. Basically, they are abusing you, but it's not to an extent to where you can't do nothing about it. Like, there's no proof.
Yeah. And they, well, even though her friends did testify that they observed injuries on her.
Right.
At times, even though she tried to cover them up, I don't know if anybody ever asked her about them or if they just saw them and just, you know, what are you going to do, really?
Right.
I mean, you know what I mean? Like, you don't want to, like, overstep your boundaries as, like, because it was, like, a coworker that said that she had noticed
and
it.
And in those situations, you can't really jump in until they want the help because it's just going to come. I've done that before. I'm very big on domestic violence and trying to help people, but I've put myself in situations that I shouldn't have. And that's the one.
That's the one.
But I put myself in a situation that, you know, I shouldn't have by trying to help friends out. And then at the end of the day,
you can't help anybody unless they want to help
and they
want to
get away.
Yep.
And sometimes they're, you know, brainwashed. I'm also going to leave at the end of this a 1-800 number for domestic violence.
That's a good idea.
Yep.
We should have done that at the last one, even though I guess that wasn't really domestic
violence. The 1-800 domestic violence is sponsoring this podcast. Okay.
Darlie Rougier was not a domestic violence victim, no. I don't believe. Maybe she was. Though.
Maybe
she was. We're not going to get back into that story because that story just pissed me off.
She makes me mad, too. One day I think she's guilty. The other I think she's innocent.
So you want to know the reasonings for, besides him selling these surveillance systems.
Yeah,
the reason why he had all these cameras is because he was adamant that Nikki was mentally unstable and he wanted to record everything that she would say or do to prove if something should happen that she was the aggressor and he was not.
Mm. Then that's how them narcissists are. They, behind the scenes, get you so worked up to the point to where you look fucking crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, he is a fucking textbook narcissist.
Yep.
I can tell you just by the video cameras in the fucking house, the controlling, the gaslighting, it seems like this is going down to be crazy. And I think a lot of females go through this and they don't even realize they're into it.
No, they don't.
Yeah.
Because I feel like a lot of people really do think that toxic relationships are normal.
Oh, yeah.
They think that, okay, it's normal.
He don't punch me in the face.
It's normal
so it's
for
fine.
Him to call me a fucking bitch.
It's not
or
normal.
Or scream at me or, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's not.
It's domestic violence. Being called
normal.
A bitch is domestic violence.
It's not normal.
I figured that out in parenting classes. But, yeah. It's not normal to be called a bitch, to be called any name.
Well, it's also not normal for the woman to do the same thing to the man either.
No, it sure the fuck isn't. And it's also not normal to have cameras all through in the inside of your house. I get the outside because I'm a paranoid person, always thinking somebody's trying to break in.
Mm-hmm.
But the fucking inside, me and my husband just had a conversation about this. I was like, I do not want no cameras in the house. No.
Yeah, there's not any reason to have cameras in the house. Mm-hmm. Unless you're trying to incriminate someone or,
right.
You know what
I
mean?
Creepy.
Yeah, cameras outside of the house, I get that, you know.
Yeah, it's weird.
But, so, and it wasn't just the surveillance system, though. He also bugged her car,
her phone,
with audio recorders, her phone. He put a tracking device on her car.
Were they together? He was controlling her every move.
Yeah,
and just
pretty much.
Yeah.
But he was saying the reason why he did this was because she was mentally unstable and she had a history of storming off after arguments. So he wanted to be able to know her exact location if she stormed off and left. So that is his explanation for why he had those, why he recorded her conversation.
Do you believe him or do you
think he's... Hell no, I don't believe him.
Because in some cases, I also want to put there is some cases where there is mentally unstable mothers, and but you still...
But see, the thing is
that
her family was... Yep, she had no medical history of mental imbalances. He even used the word when he was talking to the police about her having a history of mental imbalances.
Imbalances? What the fuck is that?
Like a chemical imbalance, in your brain.
Well, why don't you just say
but
mental
But the thing
illness?
Is that how are you going to say that when she's never been diagnosed by a doctor?
Right.
That she has mental imbalances or chemical imbalances,
you
whatever you want to call them.
You can't.
You know? Mm-hmm. So, sit down,
right.
Dr.
Fucking weirdo.
Save a hoe. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you're not doing anything.
Controller? Fucking controlling. That's all you're doing.
So, about...
We see you, toxic motherfucker.
June 28th, 2011.
Oh, shit.
So this happened in 2011, which was almost 20 years ago. Oh, almost, my God. I better stop. Almost 10 years ago. It'll be 9. Let's just say 9 years ago, because it really was 9 years ago. Okay. So the police were called to settle a domestic dispute at their house. She calls 911, claiming that her husband will not let her leave the house. She's screaming. He's not really screaming. He's kind of... It sounds like he's trying to... Exactly. Now he's trying to calm her down.
Now
he's trying to calm her down.
So
she's saying... So while he's on the phone, they're going back and forth. And eventually she agrees to tell the dispatcher that she's fine and she doesn't need anybody to come. But the dispatcher had already sent the person... the cop out there. So the cops show up and she tells them everything is fine. You know, we just got in an argument, but you all don't need to be here. You know, we'll be okay. And this was actually seen on the surveillance footage. This was caught on their surveillance camera. It was a photo of her sitting on her front porch with a bag packed next to her and her talking to the police. And so she had a bag packed. So once the police, everything was fine there, they left. And then she left after that. So then she was gone for a couple hours. So Matt, her husband, had their 12-year-old daughter, Amanda, call Nikki. Excuse me. And ask her to come home.
Right.
So she was on a recorded phone call. The call was recorded by her father, figure. And she was saying, we need to go on vacation. Please come home, mommy. We need to go on vacation as a family. We need to save this family.
What the fuck? So the dad's basically talking the kid into doing shit.
Yes.
Saying shit. Yeah.
Pretty much. So he was like, here, I'm going to record you calling your mom and crying and saying, come home. We need to save this family. Like.
Right. Basically manipulating the daughter.
Yeah.
Basically manipulating, and there's the siren in the background. Yeah. The joys of being on the podcast, and the world won't shut the fuck up.
Right. It never seems to shut up.
So he's basically manipulating her to trick her mother into coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably what killed her.
Yep. But she was only gone for a few hours, and then she decided that she was going to come home.
In those situations, I always think, well, what do you think would have happened if she would have just stayed gone? She would probably still be, or... Do you think?
I don't know.
In those situations, I think eventually, unless
I think if she would have left,
all ties.
I think if she would have left this night and not came back home,
she may still be.
She would probably still be alive. But, so she returned home that same day, and they, things seemed to be getting back to normal. Until 2 weeks later, so fast forward to the night / early morning of July 8th/9th,
okay,
2011.
That I think that's also the same time around when Krista Rogers went missing too. Well,
was that in 2011?
July 3rd, I think.
Really?
I honestly
think was that long? I thought it was like 2013.
5 years ago.
I don't know.
That's a different case for a different time.
Exactly. So they went out to dinner and a movie on the evening of July 8th, 2011. And so everything was fine at their dinner and their movie. They, on the way home, according to Matt, he said that he made a sexual advance towards her and kind of, without like in a nice way of saying like, why don't you wear an outfit or something? Right. He kind of says like, our sex has been boring, so why don't you put on an outfit or something like that? Oh, my God. So she gets insulted.
All right. So when you said that they was arguing about sex and money, was it him arguing because she wasn't having sex with him?
Yes.
Okay.
Mostly. All
right.
And the money, I guess, was both of them. But,
right.
I mean, I guess in some marriages it's different, but usually in most marriages it's the man that is the one that's wanting it more than the wife's willing to give it. Right. But everybody's relationship is different, so. She got insulted that he said that their sex life was boring and he wanted her to wear lingerie.
Right.
So they argued pretty much the all night until like 5 or so in the morning, and then he decided that he was going to go sleep in his office. He went to bed at 5:15 a.m., but then for some reason woke up at 6 a.m.
45 minutes later.
Looking for Nikki. And then notices that she's not there.
Hmm. How were the cameras? Were they all on? Or?
Well, we'll get to the cameras in a minute. So, she was gone. Her purse was there. Her keys were there. Her phone was plugged up to the charger.
Hmm.
Her car was at home.
Nobody,
everything.
No mother's doing that.
No.
By the way.
No.
I don't know any.
And I guess in 2011, people weren't as glued to their phones as they are now. But still.
Yeah.
If a wife is getting ready to, like, if a wife's storming off because she's pissed.
She's taking her purse.
She had a bag packed 2 weeks ago
when she was getting ready to leave. Because where else? You're not going to leave your kids.
There's photo proof of her having a bag packed.
Unless her kids are just so manipulated over him that there's no going back and she just ran. But sometimes mothers don't do that.
I don't think it was. I don't think that he was necessarily manipulating the kids to a point to where it was like a problem. I mean, it's a problem, right. But he was more manipulating the kids for his benefit to get back at her. I guess okay. You know what I mean. Yeah. Not because he just wants to like manipulate his kids. Like
right.
He doesn't really care. He just needs them. He's using them as pawns in his game. So, where were we? He went to bed and he woke up at 6 a.m. looking for her. So, he really didn't go to bed. He laid down for 45 minutes in his office. And then when he came out, she wasn't there. And he said that he drove around the neighborhood looking for her. Didn't find anything. So, the next day, he goes and files paperwork for a divorce.
Hold the fuck up.
And also files paperwork to have her involuntarily committed. Which I don't know how that works. Yeah. You might. I don't. But I don't know what it's like to involuntarily commit someone or what kind of criteria you have to have.
Some strong mental illness to do that.
I mean, he could have just filled the paperwork out and it might not have happened. But
right. But what
that's what he was trying to do.
What's odd to me is that she went missing when supposedly in the middle of the night. The other night, he was calling and stalking her. If she went missing on her own, men like him, he has to be in control.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason right there is a red flag to me because I feel like that he was in control of the situation because he knows where she's at. And so that's why he's able to do the next steps. Because if him being a narcissist and she walked off in the middle of the night, that's what they do to get you back. They manipulate. He already knows that she's gone. To me, that's
exactly
what it
yeah.
Like.
That does. That makes sense.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like he's already like shit.
But also, she didn't.
You kind of
gotta
let them leave you.
I mean, I'm playing devil's advocate right here, which I shouldn't be because I don't believe he's innocent. But She didn't have her phone on her, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, that could possibly be something. Maybe that's, you know, you can't call
someone
that don't have their phone.
There's maybe a 1% chance that she just bounced on everybody.
1%, yeah. I would say even, like, a lot smaller than that, but...
Yeah, because ain't no mom gonna leave her kids behind.
Mm-mm, no.
Especially one that's with her kids. No matter what, she's gonna get her kids the fuck away from him. And sometimes you are defeated in those kind of relationships with men like that because they're so fucking perfect to everybody on the outside.
Yeah.
They look like, oh, he's so sweet. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's so funny. Oh, everything. I bet you they have a great relationship.
Then it's like WWE SmackDown when doors close. When
doors are closed, it's mostly him controlling her.
Yeah.
We're to the point to where it's anything is brought up, they're gaslighted. So much so that years in, you're just mentally...
Well, gone. I mean, I like, obviously, I haven't had a relationship in a long time because I've been with my husband for almost 12 years.
Right.
But when I was, like, 15, you know, I dated, right. I dated around and stuff. And I had boyfriends that would, you know, call me names. And,
yeah.
And I didn't really know, like, what the term gaslighting was. Mm-hmm. Until
and that's basically where they make you believe that you're fucking crazy.
Exactly, yeah. And I had a boyfriend that did that to me. Mm-hmm. And I might be crazy now, but I wasn't crazy when I was in high school.
Right.
I was pretty normal. I my parents thought I was depressed, but I wasn't.
Right.
I just was a teenager.
Right.
You know, but I didn't want anybody to fucking talk to me. So
right.
I get that. I'm kind of like that now, too, though.
Right? You do have that I'm moody person like yeah. that. Yeah. Yeah. Get the fuck away from
right.
me.
Right. I would rather not speak to you
today. But I know a lot of people that's been in relationships like these, and I had been in some like this, so I know I really look deep into narcissism because, oh, my God, it's just a whole... And they don't know. They don't mm-hmm. know they're like that.
Yeah.
And that's just like...
Yeah, and like you said, they make you feel like you're the crazy one.
They make you feel... And they'll yeah. really make... I mean, you'll really, really start believing everything they say. Everything they do.
Because I used to remember, like, one of my ex-boyfriends, he would just say all these things to me, and I would just get mad, and I would blow up, and I mm-hmm. would just go the fuck off. And then he would be like... Why are you being crazy?
But why
and
I'm are you
like,
acting out?
You yeah. fucking made me this way.
Right.
This is why I'm doing
why
this.
Why are you letting me control like, your emotions?
What? Yeah. And this is 15-year-old Haley over yeah. here. So I can't even imagine what it's like as an
adult. I remember
adult.
Being a grown-up going through that shit. And it's yeah. so exhausting. Like, you mentally... And you can get so bad to where you feel like you want to end your life. Because it's more better. Or you get to the point when you're in a relationship like that... That you're done mentally. Like, you don't want to argue. You don't mm-hmm. even care. At that point, you're just like, do whatever you want to do. Okay? And it's like, you lose yourself. You lose every sense about you. It's like the saddest thing ever.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
It's very fucking depressing.
Well, luckily, you got out before.
Right?
You know what I mean?
And many something women around happened. The world.
Exactly. Yeah. So, 2 days. This is 2 days after she's been missing. Ooh. He ain't called nobody. He ain't told her parents. He ain't told her parents.
But he's done filed for divorce.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking weird.
Yeah. So 2 days after, he finally calls her sister and asks if she has heard from her. And she said, no, what's wrong? You know, what's going on? And he said, well, she hasn't been home since Saturday night. Right. And her sister was like, what the fuck? Like, why are you calling me? Why have you not called the police?
Right. Like any logical person would do.
And he said that he didn't want to call the police because, and then she said, why? And he said, because, you know, then we'll be on the news and then she'll be so embarrassed that we were on the news and she'll never want to come home. So he was thinking that he didn't want to call the news because he didn't want to get media involved because then she would be embarrassed that she caused all this and then wouldn't want to come home. Forever.
And her family's basically like, you're fucking full of shit.
Basically, yeah. So then after that, I guess Nikki's sister, Amy Robinson was her name. So Amy convinced him to call the police and file a report. So then he goes to the police and he files a report. So he told them that she had been breaking down mentally for some time. And that he thinks that she just walked away from their life and just left everything. And, like I said, both her older daughter from the other marriage and her sister Amy both, and her mother both denied that she was mentally unstable. And there was no facts to back that up either. Right. Like, no doctor's records. If you're mentally unstable to that point, you would have, I mean, I'm just guessing here. I would think that you would have eventually reached out for help and gotten some sort of doctor to, like, most figure definitely. Out what the hell is going
I'm
on.
I'm bipolar, and I have attention deficit disorder. Also have obsessive compulsive disorder and PTSD. And I've been like that since I was a kid. Well, more came on as I got older.
Mm-hmm.
But on top of that, I've had been in therapy and stuff since I was a child. And so when you get diagnosed with stuff, you automatically are diagnosed. You have to see a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, he's trying to make it sound like she's schizophrenic or something.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like to me. Or bipolar.
Is. And there will be more of that to come
and
later in course, the story.
Yeah. You're going to have a lot of medical history. Regardless, it's going to take some time for your medical history to move around. That's how much stuff it's going to, you know, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So July 15th, 2011, she's been missing for about 5 days now. Mm-hmm. They said her sister Amy and her daughter both said that Matt was a roadblock, a quote roadblock, in the early stages of the search for her because he would disapprove various photographs and written content and stuff that was gonna be used on flyers to put up around the neighborhood.
Yeah, he was stalling.
He was stalling, and I think he was also still trying to be controlling because mm-hmm. he was like, "I don't want you to put that
Why
photo
are they
of
listening
her on there."
To him? I'd be like, "Fuck you! I'm gonna do what the fuck I want to do."
Right. So they eventually did.
Right.
But they said that they tried because at first I don't think anybody thought that, you know, he was. I mean, the spouse is always the number one suspect right. in a murder case, right. regardless.
They want to clear them as soon as possible.
Yeah. So. But I don't think her family really thought at the beginning that it was, you know what I mean? I think they were trying to believe that it wasn't him. So they didn't want to believe that he had something to do with it.
Yeah.
So, they finally banded together on July 15th and, her family and the community formed a search team to try to find any clues or her whereabouts or anything like that. So
that guy looks creepy as hell. Sorry. I went and I Googled his face, but wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. His eyes come into play later too.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds weird, but it does.
No, they, it's bad.
So, but Matt and his daughters did not participate in the search for her.
How old are the daughters again?
9 and 12.
9 and 12. That's mm-hmm. sad.
Her older daughter, who was 19 at the time, she did participate. She was her and her.
Yeah, he's aunt probably had those kids believe now it. If he's been there with in their life, or even in the early time when she went missing, he probably had them believe in everything crazy. Basically, he could, you know, men like that can manipulate and make the kids think that their parent is some way and make them treat their parents,
yeah,
badly.
And I also think. I don't think he was necessarily like, I don't know what he was doing, honestly. I just think he was knowing that he needed to lay low and not be around cameras.
Right.
And stuff. Right. You know what I mean? And he didn't want to be there because if you watch the ABC 2020, mm-hmm. The footage, they showed the footage of
kind of like when Scott Peterson used to do.
They showed the footage of everybody out there searching and right. stuff. And, you know, the families were given interviews. And, of course, they're going to ask him to give an interview. And yeah. he doesn't want to give an interview because.
That's weird.
Yeah. So
it's weird not to want to look for your wife.
Within 10 minutes of searching, they found her body.
Mm.
Nude, covered in piles of leaves and twigs. And it was
10 minutes of searching the very first one.
Yes. And that's because they were searching around her neighborhood. And she was apparently dumped in like the woods at the front of her neighborhood. So it wasn't even a mile away from her house.
And he's fat. So he was lazy.
Yeah.
I ain't trying to be mean, but goddamn, he's a big guy.
Yeah.
So he was probably
and
like.
And she's 98 pounds.
Yeah. So he was
she's a sack of potatoes, you know, right. like.
That's crazy. In the first fucking 10 minutes.
Yep. It was one of her coworkers that found her, too.
Mm.
So I found her on Facebook. I couldn't find any of the other ones on Facebook.
I love doing stuff like that.
I found her, but I couldn't. I was searching for her daughters, and
this podcast is sponsored by Facebook. No,
I'm joking. Oh my god, I snorted. I need to stop. Okay, so yeah, they found her body within 10 minutes of searching.
That is wild to me.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty wild. I mean, she wasn't very deep in there. What it was, how they found her was they saw a woman's foot with a nail polish like sticking out from the pile of leaves.
And she wasn't like decomposed or anything.
No, she was. She was. Oh shit. Well, I'll go into that here.
How many days was it?
About five or six.
Yeah, so she's starting to.
Yeah. So at her. They had her memorial. Her oldest daughter gave the eulogy, and I watched it on YouTube, and I cried, of course.
That's so
and
sad.
And then they played "Because You Loved Me" by Celine Dion, and then I cried some more.
I know that was my fifth grade graduation song.
So, and she said, Alex, her daughter, said that her father, who is not Matt, was her rock throughout her losing her mother, and that he, you know, helped her like. You know, helped her deal with it and, you know, let her know that where she's in a better place and she's not suffering anymore, yada, yada, yada.
Right.
You know, so her dad was really good throughout that whole, you know, and despite the fact that her and her father had divorced. So right. I think that is good that, you know, a parent can be there for their child if something happens to the other parent and isn't just like, oh yeah, now they're all mine. You know what
right.
I mean?
That's sweet.
That's yeah, good. So, but, okay, so then her other daughters and their father did not attend the funeral either.
What the fuck?
Yes.
Yeah, because he's guilty.
Yep.
Please tell me this bastard goes to jail.
So, let's get into the forensics, all right? Let me take a swig of this, and we'll get into the forensics.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's some juicy forensics in this case.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Brace yourselves, fools.
All right, so... First of all, so investigators say that since her feet were clean, her feet were very in like good condition as far as, I mean, I'm sure they were.
Yeah, how the fuck you gonna walk away barefooted?
Yeah. So they were decomposed a little bit, but they said that her feet were clean. So that means that she did not walk into that forest herself. She was placed there.
I believe it.
So the autopsy revealed that she died close to the time that Matt said that she went missing.
Hmm.
So probably around like the 5-6 o'clock.
In the morning.
In the morning.
So basically he killed her.
Yeah, like, pretty much. Pretty much. So in her system, there were low levels of alcohol. So she did have a little bit of alcohol in her system. Not a lot. But she had very, very high levels of GHB, which is the date rape drug.
Holy shitty roofie
drug. For those that don't know.
And then he dragged her. Or no, then he probably carried her because she was like 2 pounds.
Yeah. And so the medical examiner said that there was no obvious cause of death because she found no evidence. But she also found no evidence that Nikki died of a natural cause or disease or self-inflicted injury or violent accident. The medical examiner found that her injuries were consistent with strangulation, though the concealment and deterioration of the body frustrated a definitive finding and concluded that Nikki's death was highly suspicious of homicidal violence.
But they couldn't decide because, oh my God.
But it wasn't 100%, so they, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So what did the autopsy end up saying? Was it homicide or was it undetermined?
I think they... ruled it as a homicide, but they didn't have a cause of death.
So that's going to be hard to do in a court of law because...
Yeah.
That's so, going to come up to play, but everybody fucking knows.
She also had no defense wounds, and she had no blunt force trauma.
That's because she was fucking roofied.
No blunt force trauma.
Can you imagine? Like, I mean, for real, though, ladies and gentlemen, when you're in a relationship like this, do you not think to get the fuck out? This could be you.
Well, like, hopefully, if they listen to this, they will. Get the fuck
if
out.
If you're out there and you see your man
and call that 1-800 number at the end.
Yeah, we're going to give you it at the end. If you see them doing weird shit, like controlling you, this is going to be your life eventually. Eventually, this is what it's going to come to. being roofied by your husband. Yeah. So you walked out of the life.
They also found, or they performed a rape kit and they found male DNA.
Of course they did. Fat fuck. And I wouldn't have sex with him. I ain't even trying to shame fat people.
But here's the kicker.
Shit, I forgot.
Here's
the kicker. I'm fat. I just want to let y'all know I'm allowed to say what I want because I'm a big girl.
I'm allowed to say what I want.
And I'm not trying to hate
I'm allowed to say what I want because I'm allowed to say what I want.
Fat people or whatever it's called, like, because I'm big. But fuck this guy, okay? So we're just going to just generalize fat this guy fuck. Right here. This fucker. Fat fucker.
Hey,
right?
Get out of here.
And I might have to edit that out if they won't monetize me.
Oh my God, I know, right? We lost our
she's fucking
we lost our sponsorship.
What is it called when
what?
What is it? The new world now you can't say
you can't say anything.
Fat because then you're what is it, body dysphoria?
You're body shaming.
I'm not body shaming because
you're fat shaming.
Right.
You can also skinny shame too.
They get enough. All right. In the 80s, I went 80s,
you're gonna
90s,
kill me.
I went years.
Being you said punk. They got enough.
I mean, what the fuck could else they be upset about?
I'm done. Okay, I'm done. All right, let's get back to this because I'm gonna kill myself. All right.
I can't. Not really.
You can't say that
if
either.
If you feel suicidal,
shit,
make sure you go into the number I'm gonna put at the end too.
All right, we're really doing a suicide number at the end?
Just to be safe because you said something about killing yourself.
God damn it.
You know how the new
I'm
world
sorry,
is.
I'm sorry. I just say that. I don't really mean it. Okay, so there were no defense wounds, no blunt force trauma. There was male DNA found on the rape kit. But, like I was wanting to say earlier, this was the kicker about all this is. There's male DNA found in the rape kit. But Matt was adamant that they did not have sex that night. He said they argued about sex when he said he wanted her to put her outfit on and not be so boring. But now... But he said that it obviously didn't work because they didn't have sex because she was like, fuck you, I'm leaving, you know? So how is his DNA in her if...
Because he raped her.
Well, and at the time, they didn't know if it was his DNA.
Now they probably do.
God, I lost myself.
So this guy, Google him. What's his name again?
His name is Matt Lyle.
Matt Lyle. Look him up.
L-E-I.
You'll see what the fuck I'm talking
about. L-I.
And I'm not even about people's looks, but fuck this guy.
We can put a photo up of them on the Facebook page or something.
Oh, yeah.
Afterwards. Yeah. So, the police also went through her phone searching for a possible affair. Because, you know, a lot of times...
Yeah, might be an affair.
You know, they have to...
They're trying to cover all grounds, even though they know it's the husband. They gotta go and do everything.
Yeah. So, of course, they found no evidence of an affair because there wasn't one. They searched Matt's SUV, and they found a hair that was either belonging, and this is what's weird, it was either belonging to her or one of her children in the hatchback, like the locking area of the hatchback.
Well, that's kind of creepy. Like he
put her in the trunk and then shut her hair in the trunk, and then the hair got caught in the lock.
That's exactly what he did.
Yeah. But they couldn't determine whether or not it was her.
Could they get
hair
one
or one
of
the
dogs that go and look and find the dead body that did Kaylee Anthony like that?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know if they had any. I didn't hear about any dogs on this case. But. Except for Matt Lyle.
Right.
So. They issued a search warrant to obtain the surveillance camera footage because they figured, oh, if this guy has all these cameras, right, then we should have at least where she walked, seen her leave the house. Mm-hmm. You know, we
I
should have something.
Something happened.
About that. So there were 50,000 videos stored on Matt Lyle's computer, and it took investigators 4 months to go through every single video.
Oh, my God. You would think that all his videos would show all the abuse he does to her.
Yeah, well.
You would think.
We'll get more into that soon. So the only surveillance footage from that night that she went missing shows her around midnight sitting on the front porch smoking a cigarette. So after 12 a.m. the night she was last seen, there was no more footage recorded. No more footage was recorded until he went to file the police report. And when he found the police report, he said, that he believed that Nikki may have pulled the plug on his server before she left the house, because he said that she had done that before to piss him off.
Hmm. That's some shit I would do.
So, exactly. So that's his alibi. Right. He's saying, oh,
what,
well,
if he was actually telling the truth in all this? Wouldn't that be fucked up?
It would, but
that would be funny, because fuck him.
I don't know. We'll see. I don't know. But so that's why none of the 21 cameras captured.
That's a lot of fucking not cameras, even a
single
room.
Not even a single image. The only image, the last known image of her alive, is the image of her sitting on her front porch smoking a cigarette.
So what,
at 12 a.m.
So let me get this straight. He's saying that after she smoked that cigarette, she went and unplugged it.
Yeah, and then left.
And was there any footage of her walking to unplug it?
I don't believe so.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, she's fucking, he's fucking.
So, even though the police obviously suspected Matt Lyle and his wife's murder, they did not have enough evidence at the time to charge him. So, after learning about the surveillance footage, about there being no surveillance footage, basically, her mother, Nikki's mother, Harriet Garrett, what a name, Harriet Garrett, she called Matt and she said, I know you killed my daughter and I will haunt you until the day you die. And then so Matt hung up on her, and after that he cut off all communication with Nikki's family.
Right.
And that means he cut off all communication with his daughters from Nikki's family, which is very sad.
I hope this guy went to prison.
So.
And I feel like you're not telling me because, like, he didn't.
Well, no, I just don't want to ruin it for, I'm trying to tell a story
here.
Oh,
yeah, that's right.
I don't want to go ahead and ruin it while I'm not even.
I feel like I forgot I was doing a podcast. I was wanting to know for my own self. Like, what the fuck is going on?
That's why, that's why I keep holding out information on
you. I do have a question.
I will get to it. What is it?
When you are watching something, like, true crime related and you can't wait, do you always Google it in the middle of it?
Sometimes I do. Unless I'm, like, if I'm, like, really, like, captured and, like, into it, I won't. Because I don't want to mess that up. But if I'm like, okay, this seems, you know, whatever, then maybe I might Google it halfway through. So it kind of just depends, honestly. Right. Do you Google it and ruin it for
yourself?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I still, you know what the problem is with true crime is that I've done seen everything that I can't find nothing that excites me anymore.
Yeah.
Most of it's like, okay, well, I've heard that before.
Right. But I still feel like there's... Even though I feel there's like I know
so
a
much
lot,
out there. You know what
I still feel
about?
Like there's so much out there that I don't know about.
I know there is. I know there is. It's just finding it.
Yeah.
Like, in the next episode, well, one, I'm going to tell you.
So just chill.
Yeah, it's the next episode.
Sorry. Go ahead.
No, you're fine.
You're going to tell me what?
Oh, yeah, Martha Moxley.
Martha Moxley, yeah. I know the name, and I know I've heard the name before, but I don't remember the story.
This one's too long, but... The next episode we do, if I haven't decided if we're going to record it again or wait till next week and do it, but that's a good one too.
It is. So, back to this story. Matt decided that he wanted to stop talking to the police.
Mm-hmm.
About 7 months after the murder, he says, I ain't talking to y'all no more.
Get a lawyer.
I got a lawyer. I'm out of here. So he takes his daughters, his two daughters that still live with him. Obviously, the other one's not his daughter, but he takes them and they move to Vermont.
The fuck is in Vermont?
I don't know if you exactly. It's a lot of snow and not much else.
Well, he's from up there too. Right?
Yeah, he's from New York. So
Vermont's pretty, I heard though.
It might be. So that was another kind of like a red flag. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
he's putting distance in
if you're even if y'all are like on the rocks, even if your marriage is on the rocks, if something happens to your wife, like, why are you just gonna like pack? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, that's right. Why are,
I don't know. I
he's
guess
he's not normal because he's a murderer.
I guess I could see where someone might do that though.
Right.
To like start over, new life, whatever, you know, so.
Yeah.
So this was in February 2012 when they moved. And also in February 2012, the Gwinnett County Sergeant, which Gwinnett County was the county in which this crime happened, John Richer ordered another review of Matt Lyle's computer files using a new technology that was not previously available in 2011. So when he ordered this new review of the computer files, they found over 500,000 audio recordings.
Oh my god.
And it took investigators over a year and a half to listen to them.
Could you imagine having that big of a task?
So, here is where I want to play some audio files.
Yes.
Which I don't know how well it's going to go because we didn't test this before.
Oh, we didn't.
No, but I think it'll be all right.
No! There is no compromise! No! I'm not compromising with you!
Can you at least hear before you say no?
No!
Listening to her voice really kind of opened our eyes. Is that here's the nature of their relationship. It was very volatile and it was very angry at times.
Get out! Now!
Oh, wow. This is incredible.
Hold on, it's still going.
That's wild.
On air, we just had an angry cloud being all about sex. Either you leave or I leave.
This is not the first time she's run away.
I'm thinking that I'm not going to find anything substantial because these weren't files that were hidden. So they're on Matt's computer. He didn't try to hide them.
Get out! Get out!
Can you compromise here?
No! There is no compromise! No! I'm not compromising!
Can you at least hear before you say no?
No!
You get an idea of, oh, you know...
That was the same thing they just played over again.
But. That's all right.
That's
so,
wild.
Yeah, you kind of get, so, like, she, get a feel
yeah, you
for...
can tell, like, he's trying to want... Is he, like, trying to talk her into having sex with him?
I don't know. They don't know what led up to it. These are just... I mean, these are just probably just pieces
like
of...
Like, little pieces
recordings
of...
Recordings yeah. from and hours and hours.
Yeah, it took them...
But, I mean, basically... It shows, like, that they obviously argued a lot, but...
Right.
Damn it, where was I at? Hold on, I was about to say something. I was about to say something smart. Oh, about how these files were found in a file on his computer labeled fights.
Right.
What's so, that? They were something that, like, he was trying to keep. Stuff that sounded like she was the crazy one, mm-hmm. you know.
Because he sounds so calm.
Yeah, so they listened to all those, and then they also were able to recover thousands of deleted audio files that went back 2 years. And in those deleted recordings, you see a different picture being painted where Matt is the aggressor, and Nikki is not.
Right.
And that's where I'll play the second
clip
video. So, in these deleted recordings, we hear something different. So, we'll go ahead and play some of the deleted
okay.
recordings.
Damn it! Slow your voice! I am not gonna sit here and listen to this! You're driving me nuts!
Matt wanted people to believe.
Oh my god! You lied!
He's an agitator. He's aggressive with her. He's controlling her.
If I wanted to do harm to you, I could have done it.
I don't know, man. You tried to tonight.
I did not.
With your hands around my throat, you had me pinned to the wall. You
don't touch me. Get off me.
Just hearing it now, it just brings me back to a place I don't want to go.
Listening to these recordings was really difficult. It's clear that Matt Lally wanted to have sex and that Nikki didn't.
I know that when we go 2 days without sex, you're going to automatically assume I am on strike mode.
It was very, very difficult to listen to those tapes.
You understand how many bruises are going to show up here tomorrow? Huh?
But I thought, okay, I will sit here. You put up with it, I can put up with it too.
That's her mother talking. Oh,
let me out of this room. Let the record show I am now locked in a room again.
I was sitting there listening to it, rooting for her,
That's pretty much it. Yeah,
that's fucked up, man. Well,
and there's a few more recordings that I'll show in a little bit, but that kind of gives you an idea of what we're dealing with here. So she sounds like she is being obviously abused,
right?
But she's kind of a firecracker herself. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, she's not gonna sit there and just take it.
She probably didn't think he was, you know, even going to fucking do anything this crazy, like kill her.
Yeah. So after they found all of that, that obviously made them more suspicious,
right,
of him. Because he's basically heard physically pinning her down and assaulting her. You can hear it on the recording that we just right. played. Like, there's like a struggle going on while they're yelling at each other. Right. So the Gwinnett Police forensic detective, Chris Ford, he also found evidence that the security camera actually did record video from the precise hours when Nikki had left or had been taken from the house. Mm-hmm. So the cameras were recording. She didn't pull the plug.
Right.
They were recording, but Matt had ran a database cleanup to remove all of the files from the computer.
Of course he did.
And he also performed this database cleanup on the day her body was found. So he performed it on the day she went missing, and he performed it on the day that her body was found.
Yeah.
So that right there is enough for me. Pretty much.
Yeah.
So
you can see why he's branded a killer.
Yep. So I see what you did there. So when Matt came back to Georgia to testify in a civil lawsuit on, I think it was,
yeah, because if you March can't beat 5th, them in the real courts, get a civil suit going.
No, yeah. This is a civil lawsuit that he was trying to claim money from her life insurance policy.
I thought
policy.
It was one, something her mom did.
No,
or something.
No. So this was in 2015. He was there in Georgia. He came from Vermont to collect money from her life insurance policy. So
I bet he did,
the police arrested him in the courthouse.
Hell yeah!
So, and then he was later charged with the murder. So while awaiting trial, Matt called his daughters, Rebecca and Amanda, who were, I think, like 14 and 17 at the time when the trial was getting ready to start. He called them, and this was also a recorded phone call because it was from prison. So he asked them to set up a YouTube channel to tell what he said was the truth about what happened in their home.
What the fuck?
So these were the recordings that he, of the phone call that he called his daughters in prison, telling them to make a YouTube video.
Make sure you tell people we have set up a YouTube channel to tell you the truth about what happened in our home.
Okay.
His secret weapon, his own daughters, Amanda and Rebecca. They get father knows best instructions from jailhouse phone calls to launch a YouTube crusade to defend him against Nikki's family.
All these years we were told to be silent, to protect mama's image. We can't be silent anymore. My dad is now in jail because of these false allegations. It's time we tell the truth. That's even better.
Just listen. They execute his instructions almost word for word.
It's finally time for us to tell the truth and for us to call them out on their lies, and now is our chance.
You know, say something insulting from this pathological lying family that doesn't want their dirty laundry aired. But the truth will come out.
The fam.
Yeah. You can see the manipulation. Yeah.
He is even saying, like, say something insulting, like, this pathological lying family.
They think they really believe,
and they're going along with
it. Like I said, they really believe that their mother was the bad person and their poor dad. Yeah. The way they have a, narcissists have a way of doing that to you.
Yep. So we'll jump back into the story. I got one or two more recordings before this is all over. But.
Right.
So. They also went on to say that they cannot wait to face this family in court and call out their lies, because they've done nothing but cause us pain and torment, and our day in court will come, and hopefully my dad will be able to come home.
Poor
is what one of his daughters is heard
they're
saying
in the toxic bonding stage where they think that everything is great. Their dad, nothing. The problem was their mom. That's the way that he programmed them to do.
Yeah, and he even told them. Well, they talked about, I don't know if he told them to say this or not, probably, but they talked about their mom hearing voices and stuff like that. And that she said that she was tired of the voices telling her that the people were talking bad about her and all this stuff. And so they're also trying to paint the picture that their mom was crazy. Like, right. Their dad was also trying
because,
to
and
do.
It's sad because the kids really believe that she was.
Right.
And, you know, they're going to back their dad 100% because that's all they know.
Yeah. And it's sad because, I mean,
and that's why it's hard
think
to
of
be,
her family,
it's hard
you know?
To be a narcissist in court and anything because they're good at their image. They're good at getting other people to believe what they believe and what they want them to believe.
Yep.
So there's no beating them unless you have physical proof, you know?
I feel you. Yeah.
It's hard.
So, January 27th, 2016, the trial begins. So, prosecution's theory of what happened to Nikki the night she disappeared is that they think that whenever they got home from the movies on July 8th, 2011, that Matt gave her the date rape drug, GHB, to lower her resistance level so that he could have sex with her. Because obviously she wasn't going to do it
right.
in her sober state of mind.
You think maybe she died accidentally while he was raping her? And so maybe he's been
Can you
doing
die
this.
From the date rape drug?
You could, yeah. Oh my God, what if... It sounds like something.
Well, they
that
well, okay.
Happened.
So
maybe he did this before.
The
but
prosecution's
she was just out of
theory
it.
Is that after they after he had sex with her, that he either asphyxiated her by sitting on her, or he strangled her.
Right.
And that also explains why there were no defensive wounds because she was passed out when he did it.
Right, he just laid on top of her until she died.
Yeah, so I guess it could have been an overdose, or it could have been...
Or what if
he
like
was strangling her.
Yeah.
Or he could have just been, like, choking her during sex or something.
And it turned deadly.
Yeah, which has happened before, but...
And now he's trying to cover up his shit.
I don't know if I believe that, like, he, like... set out to like try and murder her.
You think it wasn't premeditated?
I don't necessarily think it was premeditated.
So he'd probably only get a murder two charge then, because the first degree murder is going to be.
Yeah.
What did they go for?
Was
it first degree murder?
Malice murder.
Malice.
What is that? What's malice murder?
It's like with malice means that
with intent.
With intent.
Okay, so yeah, I guess it was. So. His daughters, Amanda and Rebecca, who were now 17 and 14, they also took the stand to defend their father. Mm-hmm. And they testified that they never saw their father hit their mother.
They're not going to, but the court's not really going to listen to them because they can
right.
already see that it's an abusive situation.
Right. So they testified that their dad was, you know, the sane one. Their mom was the crazy one.
Right.
Because that's what they've been told their whole lives.
Right.
And other, prosecution witness, not a defense witness, prosecution witness was Matt's ex-wife, Joanne. Her name is Joanne Lucy. And she testified that though Matt never hit her, that he would restrain her a lot by pinning her down or against a wall, and that he would scare her by hitting the wall or an object that was near
really
her.
Close to her.
Yeah.
It's intimidation.
And that he also would track her electronically. Mm-hmm.
So it's a pattern.
And she also testified that he manipulated her in ways that impacted how she now moves through her life.
Yeah, it's a fucking trip.
Matt would suggest meeting at a specific time or location, but then he wouldn't show up.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would deny that the plans were even made. But then it would question her about her whereabouts.
To make her look crazy.
Yes. So when she separated from Matt, he showed up at her parents' house, inside her parents, not at her parents, inside her parents' house,
oh, hell
using keys that he had made himself for their house, looking for her.
Oh, hell no.
And she eventually had to get a protective order against him.
Oh, yeah. Every relationship will end up like
But that. What's really weird about this whole entire thing is that the jury said that she was basically flirting with Matt while she was on the stand. Because of the way she was like, and there's videos, you can look. She was looking at him like she was checking him out.
What
like
the
she was
fuck?
Smiling at him. And they asked her about that while she was doing that. And she said, well, he knows that I love his eyes and that I will always be a sucker for his eyes. And he knows he has beautiful eyes and I just can't help but look at him.
Gross.
And all this stuff. So they kind of like...
They're like fucking...
Didn't really take what she
said. He's like Charles Manson, man.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, so...
So her credibility shot.
A little bit, but...
Not to the... I mean, if I was on the jury, I would clearly know what the fuck... You don't know unless you're in that situation. Then you realize why she's acting the way she is.
Yeah.
Until you've been in that situation, it's hard to...
But, I mean...
It's like,
fuck. I guess she finally got out, but
that's still stupid as fuck.
She's still a dumb bitch,
right?
For sitting up there and being like, "Oh, his eyes are so cute." Like
this is a murder trial, man.
Right? Like you could have gotten fucking
this
murdered.
This could have been you.
Yes. Yeah. And she's just like, "Oh, but his eyes are so pretty," which they're not. I checked. They aren't.
Right.
They're not. He looks like a fucking crazy son of a bitch.
He looks.
He's got crazy eyes.
He's got fucking, I look like I've been asleep for 400 years eyes.
Yeah.
They look really droopy. It's fucking weird looking.
Well, not according to Joanne Lucy.
Well, Joanne Lucy's a whore. I'm joking.
She probably is.
JK, she's not.
So, he was asked to testify in his defense.
And I bet you he loved every minute of it.
He didn't. He didn't do it.
He didn't do it?
Nope.
His lawyer probably told him, do not do it.
He told the judge, I'm too emotional to testify. Even though his his whole demeanor through the whole entire trial was emotionless.
He would have hung himself right there.
You know?
Right in front of everybody. Because when a narcissist gets in front of people and they already know who he is, he can't perform. He can't fake it. Like, narcissists are so used to faking for everybody that when somebody knows who they really are deep down, they won't have no contact with them. They won't talk to them. They'll avoid them.
Oh, ding, 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 who I told you about last week.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about?
The person I was telling you about last week that we used to know.
I don't know. Oh, yes.
Yep. Cuts off communication with them as soon as they figure him out.
Yep. And that's the fucking... you can tell that's a fucking narcissist. The moment they do that.
I agree.
Like, the moment. And it's because you've seen underneath their mask. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they don't even fucking know they're narcissists. So it's like, don't feel sorry for them because they don't realize it. And they're just going to keep this over...
So he was too emotional to testify. Yeah, I just can't keep myself together.
Motherfucker.
Yeah.
Right.
So, 3.5 hours of deliberation. This is kind of a two-sided verdict here.
Right.
They found insufficient evidence to prove he drugged and raped her.
The roofie.
Yeah.
There's one.
But.
Nobody's roofieing their fucking self.
They found him guilty. Of malice murder and a felony murder.
Huh.
The judge sentenced him to life in prison without the possibility of parole.
Hell yeah. I am so glad he's in jail.
Happy ending to the story. But, of course...
He's
appealing the fuck out of it.
Right.
His daughters are now in the care of his father. And they have still not given up hope that their father will be exonerated. And I do not believe that I still don't believe that they have any contact with Nikki's family whatsoever. But in 2016, which was right after the verdict was read, was when this 2020 episode came out.
Right.
And her daughter, her older daughter from a previous relationship, Alex, had said that, you know, she doesn't blame her sisters for what, you know, how they feel and all this stuff. And she says that she will always have open arms to them. Because she loves them.
Right.
And that she doesn't see this as something that's their fault.
Right.
So she's open for it. Yeah. I don't think that they necessarily are.
No.
I tried to search them and see if I could find anything. I couldn't find anything. There wasn't a whole lot. There's really not a whole lot of evidence on this case out there on the internet.
Right.
To be completely honest with you. I read a few court documents, but most of my stuff came from ABC.
Yeah.
But, she...
That is wild.
Yeah, it? So, and then
how long did it take him to go to jail from the time she was murdered? You said 2011? About 5 years?
Yeah, about 5 years. And then here's another thing. I'm not gonna play this recording because it's kind of pointless too anyways, but I'll, because y'all heard the recordings from before. But basically, in one of the recordings that they left, that was like in their final statements,
right,
the prosecution's final statements, was that she said that in the recording she was telling him, you said, I should have let you kill yourself a long time ago so I wouldn't have to do it. Is what she said that he had said to her.
What?
And then she said, welcome to my world. You killed me a long time ago.
Yeah, they were toxic.
So, like,
you can tell.
It's weird that, like, she said that. You know what I mean?
That is weird. Like, yeah, you killed me a long time ago, and then she ends up getting killed by
Yeah.
Her.
Yeah. So, there it is, everyone. That is our story for this evening. And I do not, I know that Matt Lyle's appeal is currently in review, but you know, those things can take forever.
Oh yeah, hopefully to review. It does, and with Corona it slows down.
But it hasn't, nothing's happened yet from any of his appeals, so.
Also, if you feel like that you're in a domestic violence situation and you need to get out, try to document it as best as you can. Try to minimize arguments by just agreeing with what the abuser says until you can get into a safe place. I know that's kind of hard to do with everything that goes on. It's, you know, it's hard, period. But also, you can reach out to your local community centers, and they also can help you with any kind of domestic violence issues that you have. EPOs, like emergency protective orders in states, things of that nature can all be found on Google from your state, and then just Google emergency protective order. But also, if you need the National Domestic Violence Hotline, it's 1-800-799-SAFE. It's actually 1-800-799-7233. And I want to thank you, Haley, for telling me this story.
You're welcome. So did you ever hear it? Or
No, I actually didn't. It's not the one I thought it was.
And okay, good.
I actually enjoyed this. I liked it.
I had a feeling you would, because there's a lot of, like, twists and turns.
Yeah,
and,
I really liked him trying
to act like he's all innocent when he deliberately deleted the fucking recordings and right. shit. Like, come on, dude. Right.
Sometimes people...
And like you said, people sometimes, they lie so much that they believe themselves.
They really don't think... They think that they're smooth with it, but they're not.
And they think that they can talk themselves out of anything. Because I used to be that way. When I was little, I would lie about everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I was, like, 7, 8 years old. Because I literally thought that everybody around me was that stupid that they would believe what I would say. And right. I could talk myself out of anything.
Yeah.
I believed that when I was a kid. I really did. Yeah. And now I'm like, hell no.
They was really looking at you like, this kid's fucked up.
Well, I mean, I didn't lie about anything crazy. I would just
right.
I would just lie, and they would just be like, well, I'll just say this. And then that would be the end of it, you know?
Yeah. Well, you guys, thanks for tuning in.
Thank you for tuning in, listening to me.
We're going to be touch basing with weekly cases, basically. 1 week, Haley will tell a story. The next week, I will. And then sometimes we'll just fucking tell one all together.
That we both know.
That we both know.
Yeah, which is fun sometimes too, I think.
Yeah.
Because then we can, like, discuss, and it's not mm-hmm. like me, you just telling me something for the first time. You know, right. which is also cool. I think it's cool to switch it up.
It does. And that's why a lot of big YouTubers like Bailey Sarian and Kendall Ray and all them, they do smaller cases. Of course, they do the big ones. But a majority of them do the smaller ones.
Well, you know, you were talking about Bailey Sarian the other
she
day.
She does different.
And I did watch some of her videos. And her little...
Did you like her?
Yeah. Like, she could for real get served with a cease and desist order from fucking Paris Hilton for
using
that.
It's a wonder she has it yet.
Like, she really can. Because I was watching The Simple Life, like, last night. It was on Pluto TV. And I was watching it, and they were doing the little dance. Yeah, and I was like, this bitch Bailey Sarian's about to get fucking served, dude.
I wonder if she has yet.
Maybe not. Maybe no one's caught on yet.
Did you like her actual storytelling?
Yeah, she's pretty good.
Like, even I'm not into makeup, but like...
I'm not either.
So, I got a few recommendations. If you do love true crime like we do, always, always check out Dateline. Because also, Dateline has a podcast.
They do.
Dateline's podcast is freaking
Nancy
awesome.
Grace has a podcast. I love me some Nancy Grace. Oh, and a lot of people yes. don't like her, but
I like Nancy Grace.
I fucking love Nancy
and,
Grace.
Like I said on YouTube, I will Bailey die on Sarah, that mountain. Kendall Ray and Stephanie Harlow. Those are three to name a few. Soon to be Brandy and Haley.
Yeah, well, obviously you need to listen to us more
obviously,
than anybody else.
You need to pay attention to us because we're up and coming.
We're the smartest people out there. Kidding.
And then also I want to let you know that I did not mean to offend anybody in this recording. If you got
none
offended,
of us mean to offend anybody.
But you know
that's
what
y'all need to come into this podcast. Skin. You do need to get thicker skin, but you also need to come into the podcast
realizing
that nobody's trying to really, really. Call you out like that. We're really not trying to like sneak this, you know.
No, we don't care. We like
everybody.
We
everybody
like true crime.
There's things that I do that people are like, I fucking can't stand when people do that.
Like,
you know what I mean?
I just like true crime. I just want to do a podcast about true crime.
It is what it is.
Right. So that's what we're doing.
Yeah, and on that note, catch y'all motherfuckers on the flip side.
Right. We'll catch y'all on the motherfucking flip side. Have a great fucking week.